Welcome back to Through the Word. Today we'll be in Deuteronomy chapter 10. I'm your host, Peyton Jones. Let's get started. Think of all the things that you take for granted. Right now, your heart is pumping, your lungs are breathing, and you don't often think of them until they stop doing what they're supposed to do, until they aren't working right. We're the same with God, and Moses knew this, and in chapter 10, he's going to talk to him a little bit about forgetting God some more. Alexander Solzhenitsyn became a political prisoner under the communist Russian regime and was sent to a Siberian gulag, which is a Russian word for a concentration camp. But it was there that he learned to pray. Solzhenitsyn confesses, "When things were good, I never thought of God at all." The theme of this whole section between Deuteronomy chapters 8 to 11 has been, don't forget God. When we get through these battles and things are, well, sailing along pretty smoothly. Chapter 10 centers on the testimony of the tablets that are the contract of their agreement together. And Moses will keep returning to this again and again because, after all, an agreement is an agreement. So in verses 1 through 5, Moses reminds him that these very documents, this covenant, is kept in the Ark of the Covenant for safekeeping. And there the agreement between them is at the center of all their worship and all of the basis of their relationship with God. Verses 6 through 9 describe that the Levites' primary function is to care for the Ark of the Covenant and all the worship surrounding it. For this reason, verse 8 says, "At that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord to minister and to pronounce blessings in His name, as they still do today. That is why the Levites have no share or inheritance among their fellow Israelites. The Lord is their inheritance, as the Lord your God told them." Isn't this true of all of us, though? Isn't God our inheritance? Like the old Scottish woman once remarked when she became a Christian, "Wow, all of this and heaven too?" You see, God Himself is at the center of heaven, and He makes heaven a heaven. Heaven would be a hell without God at the center. Like the old Welsh poet William Williams once penned, "Jesus is better than His blessings. He's greater than His grace." God is your inheritance, and He's the best part of the deal. He is the salvation of your salvation. He's what makes it sweet. He's the chewy caramel center at the center of the Tootsie Pop roll of your salvation. You just got to get past that outer candy shell. And that's not too bad either. The Hebrews just didn't realize this yet. And sometimes, if we're honest, we don't either. Now in verse 10, Moses says, "I stayed 40 days again." Remember when he broke the law? He tells them, "I stayed 40 days for a second time to get the law again, and this time God told me to go back down to you and lead you, for it was not His desire to destroy you." Now, we take this for granted that Moses comes down a second time with the law, but it was kind of like when you were a kid and you were told to go wait in your room until your dad got home. Moses goes up that mountain, and neither he nor the people know what God's going to do as a result of their idolatry. So, when Moses comes down with the law, it's a symbol of a second chance. You see, it's not God's desire to destroy us either, even though strangely, it's often our desire to destroy ourselves. Out of all the species on planet Earth, humans are the only ones who engage in self-destructive behaviors, as if they were intent on destroying themselves. Yet when God says, "Cool, I'll help you out on that, if you want to destroy yourself, let me do it for you," we resent it and become angry. How dare God destroy me? Only I have the right to do that. But realistically, Moses is reminding them in this chapter that God saved them out of slavery to, well, save them. And He saved you out of your bondage to save you. That's why Paul says it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's common sense. Do not allow yourselves to be in bondage again to a yoke of slavery. Why would God go to all that trouble of redeeming you only to destroy you? God's heart in this chapter is to save and to bless, and yet we make it so hard for Him to do so. For the sheer majesty of the closing verses of this chapter, there's nothing I can say to improve them, but rather, let's hear these beautiful words straight from Moses' mouth. and marvel at the grandeur and beauty, as God is worshipped by a man who met with him daily, face to face. In verse 12, Moses says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good? To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth, and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your ancestors and loved them. And he chose you, their descendants, above all nations as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. Fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him and take your oaths in his name. He is the one you praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. Your ancestors who went down into Egypt were 70 in all. And now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in the sky." That's just heavy stuff right there. You know, I've stood at an altar with dreamy-eyed couples who stared deeply into one another's faces and they pledged their love to one another. They make a covenant, and everything about that day is magical. And it's amazing because they're pouring out their hearts through these words, and words just sometimes seem to be, well, not quite enough to really encapsulate what's going on up there in front of the people. I can imagine Moses' frustration. He's trying to tell the people what God feels for them and thinks for them. God's crazy about you. He's willing to stay with you no matter what. He'll always be there even if you desert him. And Moses is like that officiant at a wedding, just telling them, guys, get this right. Love this God. He is faithful. Be faithful to him. Well, there's not really much more that I can say because words will fail me here. But read Deuteronomy chapter 10 today. And as you do, worship this amazing God who Moses just described, this God who holds you so tightly in his loving hand and will never let you go.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.